Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Oh, Mr. Speaker.
That's Lockwood Smith, and this was his third shot at getting Education Minister Hekia Parata to spill the beans on who she consulted about the closure and merger of schools in Christchurch.
So far, we've not had any indication at all who the Minister consulted, the Honourable Hekia Parata.
Mr. Speaker, to pedantically use that term, consult, then, consulted specific people...
The Minister said she consulted with submissions that had been submitted.
I consulted with ministry staff who in turn had consulted with ranges of individuals across the Greater Christchurch, Waimakariri and Selwyn districts.
Over now to the West Coast, and the main divide currently separating National and the opposition is over coal mining.
It was a tough week down the West Coast with the news that the Spring Creek mine is losing money and is uneconomic to keep open at current coal prices.
Leading off the general debate, Economic Development Minister Stephen Joyce spotted a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mr. Speaker, there could be an upside. Just up the coast, there is another mining project which is ready to go, which is economic at current mining price, coal prices, Mr. Speaker.
Stephen Joyce called on opposition parties to drop their objections to the Bathurst mine, an argument rejected by the Greens' Kevin Haigh, who said the Spring Creek mine should remain open.
It's going to be mothballed because of this government's asset sales agenda. As the documents between these ministers and the Solid Energy Board clearly demonstrate, they have been instructed to prepare the company for sale, to maximise the share price, and it's going to cost the jobs, the livelihoods of all of those people who will lose their jobs, their families, and cause a terrific economic impact to my home community of Greymouth.
The Greens' Kevin Haigh in the general debate, which also included this contribution from Labor's Deputy Leader Grant Robertson.
Mr. Speaker, the government's handling of the Kim.com case and the involvement of the GCSB in that is a circus. And we are forced in this House to endure the statement that we have to believe that our spy agency is so incompetent that they couldn't even use Google and Google Kim.com residency, and if they didn't, they'd come up with 6 million hits.
Grant Robertson also put this question to the Prime Minister.
Why is he continuing to protect Mr. Banks when sworn statements from the Chief Executive of Sky City and a senior partner at Simpson Gresson showed that he lied to the New Zealand public while he was a Minister of the Crown?
Mr. Robertson's allegation was rejected by the Prime Minister, while it shocked New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
It is extraordinarily unusual for a minister in this House or a member to be accused of being a liar or to have lied, and for you to do nothing about it from the chair. Well, that's extraordinary. I've never seen that before.
But the Speaker said it was okay in the context of a question, although not as an accusation in debate. Over now to Rhys Lyon on this report from the committee rooms.
More transparency around lobbyists at Parliament is the goal of a member's bill in the name of Green MP Holly Walker, who presented it to the Government Administration Committee.
The bill basically seeks to do two things. It establishes a register of lobbyists, which means that anyone who's paid to undertake lobbying activity must register and file quarterly returns with the Auditor General. And secondly, it empowers the Auditor General to develop a code of ethics for lobbyists in consultation with key stakeholders and the public. And once that code is finalised, it would anyone registered as a lobbyist would be required to comply with that code of ethics.
Ms. Walker pointed to some factors for MPs considering the bill to keep in mind.
The first is that lobbying is a legitimate activity, and that means that in seeking to introduce a disclosure regime and a code of ethics, the intention is absolutely not to denigrate lobbying somehow as an illegitimate activity or to prevent it from taking place. And the second is that in no way is it the intention of the bill to restrict public access to members of Parliament or to have a chilling effect on the interactions between the public and their representatives. And the third principle is that the public has a right to know who is lobbying MPs and on which issues. And the final principle is that a lobbying disclosure regime needs to be practical, it needs to be workable, and it needs to be fair.
But Ms. Walker ran into some strife from members on both sides of the committee. For example, Labour's Trevor Mallard, who said the bill left a lot of questions and was poorly drafted. Holly Walker hoped those perceived problems could be ironed out in the Select Committee process.
I think it's fair to say that there's a widespread agreement with the intent and principles of the bill. And so now it's our job as a committee to work through the detail and recommend amendments that ensure that we have a robust lobbying disclosure regime that's appropriate for the New Zealand context.
Green MP Holly Walker presenting her lobbyist disclosure bill to the Government Administration Committee, which is due to report it back to the House by January 25.
That report from Rhys Lyon, I'm Tom Frewin, and this programme is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.